I mentioned to the kids that God is always with us, but if you look at the title of the sermon, things are a little bit more nuanced than that, are they not? Where is God? Where is the Lord? It seems like a simple enough question. If I were to have asked the children where God is, they probably would have pointed to the sky. God is in heaven. If I were to ask you, the adults, where God is, you all would probably say, well, God is everywhere. God is all around us. If I were to ask a mystic where God is, a mystic would probably tell me that God is inside of me. If I were to ask a theologian where God is, well, theologians don't particularly like answering any questions, so the theologian would probably dodge my question until I went away. But really, this is a fundamental question, right? We all worship this God fellow. Where is he? This question is especially important when we look at the world today. Where is God when a man pledging his allegiance to ISIS goes into a gay bar and shoots and kills 49 people? I don't care what our stances are on homosexuality. We can all agree that that is behavior that should never be accepted. Where is God when Christians are crucified in the Middle East? When gays are thrown off of buildings in the name of religion and faith in those same countries? When children are massacred in our own streets due to gang violence? Where is God? Today is Father's Day. Where is God when far too often children grow up without a father? And if you have any great, grand revelation to the answers to these questions, feel free to go ahead and speak up. But this is the question, where is God? This is the question that people of faith have struggled with for millennia. One of God's greatest prophets, a man by the name of Elijah, struggled with this very question. You see, Elijah's problem was not that he did not do the right thing. Elijah's problem was that he did the right thing while everyone around him did not. Elijah lived in a time when the people had abandoned God. My Sunday school class is just finishing up the book of Judges, and in it we see a pattern in this book. The people abandon God, bad things happen, the people remember God, and God sends them a rescuer. Well, as the Bible continues, this pattern keeps going. The only thing is, by the time of Elijah, the pattern is that the people forget God more and more, and the people return to Him less and less. And God lives at one of those lowest points. Elijah, at this point, is pretty much the only person still faithful to God. Israel's king has abandoned God. Israel's queen has abandoned God. Its prophets have abandoned God or been killed. And Elijah is a fugitive because the political and the religious leadership wants nothing more than to destroy the worship of God once and for all. And it is at that point that Elijah, that great prophet, has a crisis of faith. Where is God? Where is God when no one will worship Him? Where is God when His only follower is in serious danger of being killed? Where is God when all of God's altars have been destroyed? And of course, this story that I read earlier, this is a familiar story of God appearing in the silence. But we often forget that background, that Elijah is in trouble. He is in incredible turmoil, and that is when he famously wishes to die but is instructed to keep going. And that is when he goes out onto the mountain with the promise that God will reveal himself to Elijah. It is in this context of pain and terror that Elijah asks the question, "Where are you, God?" And just imagine it. First, a windstorm able to split mountains, shrapnel flying everywhere. Then an earthquake shaking the very foundations of the world. Then a fire, that old symbol of power and authority. And any of those would have been perfect. Elijah, who is at his wit's end. Elijah, scared for his life. Elijah, the prophet that has been preaching to his enemies that God is powerful. Elijah, who desperately wants to see and feel that power of God. These signs of power would have been perfect. He could have pointed to those mighty things and said, "Ha! There is God right there. There he is." The only problem, of course, is that God wasn't there. God wasn't in those powerful displays. Where was God? Well, you know the story. Where was God? God was in the silence. And I love how this is written in the Bible. It says, after the fire came, a sound of sheer silence in verse 12. A sound of silence. And on one hand, this shows us the power of absolute nothingness. God does not need those incredible spectacles to show his power. Even his silence is enough power. But on the other hand, I love the fact that it is in this small thing that God chooses to reveal himself. In the midst of Elijah's turmoil, in the midst of his pain and his fear and his suffering, and quite frankly, in the midst of his wanting to die, it is this small thing, this tiny experience that he finds God. That's where God is. God is in the small details, the little gifts that he gives to us. And that is where he still is. When an evil man kills 49 people in Florida, when men and women are crucified for following God's commands, when violence takes the life of a young person, when a family struggles without a father or a mother, God is in the little gifts that he gives to us. One of those gifts, one among many, but one of those gifts we receive today. I have talked to you many times about communion. Well, when we ask, where is God? This is one of our answers. This is God coming to you. Yes, it seems simple. A morsel of bread and little more than a drop of juice or wine. But here is God in that silence that you can hear. When Elijah heard the silence, it was so weighty that he had to wrap his head in his mantle. Well, here is your God coming to you in that power and in that simplicity. It is that complex relationship that we always find in God, that immense power, that power that lets me tell you truly that the Creator of the universe is approaching you, you individually, you in your weakness, but also that simplicity of the fact that that same Creator God chooses this simple way of showing himself to you. He does not come in the destructive wind or the earthquake or the fire. Instead, he comes in bread and wine. And for our part, we must ask the question, what does it mean that he comes to us in this simple manner, in this way so similar to how he came to Elijah when we live in a world of great turmoil? Well, Elijah, for himself, found hope. But hope is hard to convey. I think that one of the most interesting things about the fact that God chooses to come to us in such simple terms, be it the sound of silence or the bread and wine or any of the other simple ways that He comes to us, is that God clearly wants to be with us. God could have come to Elijah in that earthquake or the fire, and that would have been impressive. And perhaps it would have even assured Elijah in the short term. It would have told him that God cared about him and would protect him. But beyond that, it wouldn't have actually gotten across God's message to Elijah, because God was trying to tell Elijah that He was with him. And fire and earthquakes, as awe-inspiring as they are not really things that stay with us. You can't take them with you. Or even things that we can truly understand or wrap our minds around. God comes to us in these small gestures, in these simple things that we can understand and relate to, so that He can show us that He wants to relate to us. But it is also significant that He comes to us at this table, that He comes to us as a unifying force, the same body and blood, the same bread and wine that comes to you comes to me. We receive the same Christ. God comes to us all in the same way. And that solidifies what we should already know, but too often forget, that we, you and me, the church in general, we are the body of Christ. Christ comes to us in this simple way, feeding us with His body and reminding us that we are the body of Christ on this earth. Paul puts it this way in the familiar Galatians passage that was read earlier. He says, "As many of you were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." And that unity, despite the turmoil in this world, despite terrorism and violence, despite even more minor disagreements that we have amongst ourselves, that unity is that small voice. I asked the question, where is God? Well, God is here. He is present. He is present in this simple gift that we are about to take part in, but He is also simply here. He is here when we decide to love one another. He is here when we decide to forgive each other. He is here when we decide to care for one another. He is here when we bring His message to others. After Jesus cast out the legion of demons from the man in our gospel passage, Jesus tells him to return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. In this age of turmoil, that is where God is too. When we declare His goodness, when, like Elijah, we stand up in front of that turmoil of this world and we declare that God is more powerful. So come, let us receive this small gift, the gift that God gives to us, the gift of His very self. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.